Don't bless it in whole years. But the only time it will not hold is out of time and don't bless it. And that is laws of physics. I didn't make it. I had to stumble through it to find it the hard way to come to it. But here you have. On time, you don't have to bless it. If you don't want to bless it. Lunar, and you don't want to bless it, fine. But out of time, and you don't bless it, it'll go down and you'll know for sure you'll get it in your body. So when somebody says, I don't believe in solar and lunar, I pray over my meals, I said, fine, I believe that, I don't criticize that, because that law also exists. You're paying respect to the process of how it's put together. And for that reason, when you put it in, who are you putting in? You're putting in your consciousness back, or the respect that your consciousness is valid in the formation of it. But if you don't bless it, and it's out of time, you pay the consequences for your ignorance. So, on time, and if you bless it, greater. Lunar, and you bless it, is still greater. And out of time, and bless it, is still greater. But all the time, and don't bless it, you pay the consequences. So you see, you have three things going for you. On time, prayer over it. Wrong time, with prayer over it. Wrong time, no prayer. Don't blame nobody.
Do you have a formal prayer?
It doesn't make any difference that the prayer is formal or informal. The mere fact that you realize that you are giving some degree of thanks to a creative principle for its existence. And though it may be the wrong time, all mocked up in a way to cook it because I'm not to show you what food to cook and what you want. The fact that you may not even know your blood type, the mere idea that you have the attitude, they will compensate your body. That's one of the wonderfulness of it. Now, yet at the same time, the creative intelligence doesn't want you to abuse the fact that you don't know the time and pray for it all the time. It would want you to learn the right time and still pray over it. Not to do it the wrong time and pray over it. That's not a very healthy attitude either. You should know how the thing is set up. And you should know that prayer attitude is beneficial. But not to know and just to pray out of sheer fact that it may let you down. That's where we say to believe and not to know is superstition. To know and not to respect, that is ignorance. So we would rather you know how your environment is operating. And that's what understanding is all about. That's what Paul is trying to tell mankind. We would rather you know there's a period that you can take advantage of, that you don't get bored. It's called the lunar cycle. And we'd like you to know that you have the option of your attitude to override any fears about what you're doing. But we don't want you to be constantly living in a level of belief and then get hurt in the belief and not know the valid facts of the underlying. So it's best to believe and know that the believe and not know. It's best to know and experience that you can appreciate those who don't know but still believe. You got a fast reaction. So the blood type is important. Check your blood types because you have the option of the fiber or tissue now. And it's 80-20. Now,
what about the orange
then? That's the absorption rate. If you're a plus sign, you're absorbing fast. If you're a minus, you're absorbing slow. That doesn't have nothing to do with good or bad.
That's your body, it's just your natural
that's
body.
That's your natural metabolic rate.
What can gain weight?
Now, if a person is 100% fiber eater, like an A and an AB, which they can be, but it's not practical, it's best that they go a little acid, a little tissue, at the full moon time to stabilize them. But if they don't, and they should want to keep a lot of tissue, because they feel they can crave it. And what is funny about these people, they're born in home, they're ready to meet the serve. And they sneak out to their friends to go eat hamburger. They sneak out to their friends to do all kind of crazy, getting even in their parents. And then they get sick. Then you check out, they are the A and the AB blood type. The B and the O are born in homes where they even make you kill the cattle or kill the chicken. I have to grow up with that. But you get to a point where you don't even want to touch the stuff. Only to find out it's not valid. So I have to learn. And it's not denying or overindulging, it's when to put it in. So even though I can handle tissue foods, but because my blood type is O, I can't handle fiber foods all the time. I need a little of it. Even though many friends of mine who can eat fiber all the time and don't like to eat tissue, they have to have a little of it to stabilize them. And therefore we have a balance for the first time in the blood. Now if you become too overly locked in, like A and AB, if they know that they can get away with fiber food all the time, but they want to get even their parents and sneak out and eat a lot of tissue, they'll get too acid. Now, when you're too acid, this is what that happens. By eating too much tissue, this particular type will get too acid. And what happens with them? They get a hacking cough. They get a white tongue. They get a lot of mucus building up in them. Their skin will crack. And a yellow fluid will come out. And you know they have every disease from A to Z in the acid range. And they are the A and AB type. Because they've gone too acid. That's what happens to them. They're essentially a fiber eater. But they have a craving that generates in them to go eat tissue. And sometimes they eat more than is necessary. And when it's more than is necessary, they get mucus building up in them. They get a hacking cough, a spit phlegm, their tongue gets white and coated, and their skin cracks. And it issues out a yellowish fluid. And then you know they have every disease from A to Z in the acid range. Now equally true, the B and the O, I'm an O, I should know. If we tend to be too much fiber, we can get along with a lot of tissue without any problem. But if we stay and get too much fiber, get too holier than thou, feel that we can't touch any meat or alcohol, we get another disease, or we get too alkaline. We get too alkaline. And our problem is we got a nice, beautiful pink tongue. So beautiful and pink it's dry. You know? And we get a hacking cough. We don't spit up no phlegm. Our skin can get very dry and scaly, but no fluid comes out of it.
What would produce a lot of phlegm in the O type blood?
And then you mix dairy product with meat. So they say, man, you're non-kosher. You know non-kosher?
I'll
tell you what non-kosher in a few minutes. So we get alkaline, a type O or a P, very alkaline. Now if we mix dairy product with meat, then we got a problem.
Milk
containing calcium and lactic acid. In here we have hemoglobin or blood containing iron. And here we have a little calf with its mouth nursing on the udder by compression and dilation. The udder is forced to secrete milk in the form of calcium and lactic acid into the mouth of the calf. The calf will stay healthy until the mouth of the calf ruptures the outer skin of the udder, forcing the hemoglobin with the iron to secrete with the calcium and the lactic acid. And then the farmer is in a bind. You gotta pull the calf away immediately, because the calf will die. And then the cow will develop mastitis of the udder. But this problem is not bacterial. So the moment it happens, that the skin is ruptured and the iron in the blood mingles with the calcium in the milk, the calf will get sick and die. Mother cow will get mastitis, but since it's not a bacterial invasion, the farmer is not going to waste his time to lose those cattle. He's going to slaughter them immediately and sell it. And no federal inspector can condemn it because it doesn't contain bacteria. It's a result of what? An accidental rupture causing a digestive reaction in the calf and will eventually lead to a breakdown in the mother cow. So what we do? We slaughter the cow and we slaughter the calf. No bacteria? Fine. We cook the cow or we make hamburger. We take out all the milk that is possible out of the cow before we slaughter it, and we convert the cream into butter, and we also go to the extent where we make cheese with the milk and the cream. Now, we sell it to the guy called McDonald, and he takes the meat part and he makes burgers. And then he takes the cheese and puts the stuff in the grain and serves it to you. You'll get by till you get sick, not knowing your blood type. And you get mucus building up in your body. And then you'll notice if you were to eat the cheese and it didn't melt it, you'll be able to swallow the cheese with the meat. But if they melted the cheese on top of the meat, a strange thing will happen. The bread will dissolve in your mouth, the meat will dissolve in the mouth, or the cheese will end up like a ball of chewing gum in your mouth. And you never spit it out because you paid for it. But you'll swallow it, and it'll clog up your tummy, and my friend Jimmy here is entitled to pump yours. Because I did it myself. And we are that type, blood O and B, we love it, pizza pie. Melted burgers, I have my share, but my colon out of the skin. Yep, this is very toxic for the body. The dairy product and the blood of the tissue. In the olden days, they didn't have a way to identify the chemistry, but they would classify it under the sanitary label as kosher and non-kosher. Non-kosher means non-sanitary, and kosher means sanitary. So when they kill the cow, there's a special way to kill it, to drain the blood, but they never mix milk or dairy product with the cow and serve it in a Jewish home.
Are you saying that an old-type blood could then eat cheese without the meat or the grain, bread?
It's not practical.
No.
If you want to do it a little around the lunar time, but at dawn at night, has been a practical form of eating.
Because the cheese still balls up.
Right. Because you have two things to contend with. You have the calcium and the iron that are interacting as opposites chemistry. But let's say there's a little fella and you're living in some part of Africa. A little fella with two wings come one day and land on you like this. Give me the mistake. And you you're not dying, but all it, we can never get you to go do nothing. It's called sleeping sickness. Good. There is no cure faster than that combination. We'll take it and stick it in your mouth and get you going very fast, and you'll get up and wake up. Because calcium iron now is a direct homeopathic process for it.
So in a normal functioning human being, it's bad. That illness is a homeopathic way of eliminating.
Now you see how nature has to compensate. There is no loss in nature. For everything she does incorrect, she has a way to what? Find an outlet for it to correct it?
Balance.
Nature abhors a vacuum, and nature is our own equilibrator. But you have to recognize it, and you're going to find it in the food. Now, if you're riding in the desert, like my ancestors, the Mongols, were doing, and they got sick from desert illness, they had the milk from the mare in the skin bag, but they like a water bag, you know, made out of skin. Put the milk on the mare, and it shakes up while they're riding, and then periodically, so that they don't get tired and they wonder how the Mongols are keeping up, they'll stop the horse and get to the vein and stick it with a little bone or something and drain out a little bit of blood, throw it in that little combination of milk, and they'll make a K-ration, eat it, and they're chasing the hell after you. So they used to call them the horde. Where did the Mongols come from? How could they keep up? What they were doing is because the milk being shaken with the oscillation of the riding and the hotness of the blood, and when they were ready, at the extreme end, when you think they're tired, you put this combination, it's called a booster food. And they were able to fight now, while the other person was already tired. They got the booster charge from the combination. But that doesn't say they'll keep up long. Let's say the other guy found out the secret of your room back at them. They're misery now. So it has a value and it has problems. But that's iron and the calcium. Now, we eat it and we get sick. You have to watch it, otherwise you get too acid. All by itself, but don't help it. You can eat meat, but don't mix it with the cheese.
Well, what happens when you melt it?
Everything around that melted cheese will dissolve in your mouth by the saliva and the enzyme, but the melted cheese will not, because the saliva will act as a ketone reaction to turn it into plastic, and it will bubble up in your mouth like chewing gum.
That's
it never breaks down, because that's what happens in your mouth. And so, but because you paid for it, you're not going to spit it out.
That's how they make, that's how some plastic should make. That's a patented chemical process. It's not a chemical. Plants.
The biggest plastic suppliers are your dairy companies.
Gordon's.
But they're not here to inform you, they're here to sell you the product.
So we're just laminating our home.
Congratulations. When to eat according to the growth. So no food is a threat to you, right? Even at lunar time, no food is a threat to you. Do you see it?
Yeah.
And you know your blood type, so you can't be 100% anything. So let's say you don't want to touch tissue because you feel that there's uric acid involved, then the refined flour is the opposite, the refined grains, or the egg, or the wine. But you have to have something to break the reaction of the alkalinity of the fiber. You get too alkaline. So people who don't put in any kind of acid food from a fresh source must make sure they get it from a refined source or from a distilled source like alcohol base to compensate. Now, it has been proven that many of the monks and nuns over the centuries that took vows, when they had the communion given to them and the priest forgot to do the ritual over it, they vomit the whole thing back up. They could not swallow it. And when the prayer was said over it, it stayed down. That's what we're just talking again. You know, what can go in and stay down and pass through your body versus what will not go through the body. So we're seeing that, again, nature has made provision with what and when to put it in. And the attitude also is essential here. So lunar eating is valid also. Solar eating is valid. Attitude eating is valid. You get it now? The only time it's not valid and you're going to end up sick and you're going to fool yourself is out of time without the right attitude. And that's what we suffer from this society, is that we're potlucking it and we seldom bless it. So
the lunar cycle you're speaking of is 3 days before the full moon,
the day
of the full moon, and 3 days after.
Right, that's the lunar cycle.
Adana, were you saying that for the lunar cycle it is better to follow the lunar principle?
Right, it's
rather
better
rather than stay solar all the time?
Yes, because your body is designed for all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, right? So you can't stay fixated in a disciplined process all the time. Your body will resent it.
So I, as an O,
I am O too.
I, as an O person, would eat in moderation my tissue
right.
during solar,
right.
but then really maybe eat a tremendous amount of tissue during
lunar. Or I can go eat the opposite way. During the lunar time, I eat my tissue, and during the solar time, I eat my fiber.
Oh, okay. So we could really. I have been on the fiber for 2 months now with this other food combining program, and I've had digestive problems and couldn't figure out why.
Right.
Because I'm
Right.
I think I've become alkaline.
Yeah, too alkaline. So what you do now, around the solar time for 21 days, stay on the fiber, and the lunar time, add a little of the tissue to make the 80-20 compensation balance. And you're healthier and no breakdown.
But that doesn't mean that you have to eat tissue every day.
No, you don't have to every day. But you know, the point is, I'm saying solar, if you want to go the whole 21 days fiber,
right.
and the 7 days you want to make up, you can put in the tissue within those 7 days. I like to...
But not even the tissue within the 7 days every day.
No.
Just be, you know,
whenever you do it, that's a compensatory formula.
Right.
But what I like is to take the day of the full moon, being the closest to the earth, to use the tissue more,
right.
whatever type it is, so it'll pass through the system, pick up a little alcohol. So that compensates the body. The reason why it compensates the body, the product of my father and my mother, and their symptomatic syndromes are still locked up in me. I can't get rid of that. I came to work with that. So if I don't respect that as a law of physics, I'm fooling myself. Whatever the trauma my dad had, the trauma my mother had, is already ingrained in the memory banks of the sperm and the memory bank of the ovum. And for me to go fool myself that I'm going to erase that, try to be holier than thou, that's ignorance because that's not truth. Truth is comprehension, which is freedom. And so when you realize, okay, daddy, took a little wine, I saw it, take a little wine, and muddy it, fine. But now I know when I can really benefit with the quickest release is on the day of the lunar, and that's valid to my system. It will not. When I do it today, and it clears it up, I will take blood test, and it holds up perfect. So I know that science works on what I am. Whether who I am can always mess me up. But that's where your placebo effect comes in, with your who. The prayer over the thing at the wrong time. That's what a placebo effect is, because your mental attitude will get you through. But it's not 100% to back you up, because it can let you down when you may be in the wrong frame of mind. So it's best that you do have both conditions working for you, the placebo or the prayer attitude and the right time of what you're doing. Now, foods that must be cooked, like it or not, and I'm going to deal with the breakfast. And that's off the tree in the morning. You cannot eat them raw. No matter how you try, don't fool yourself. Nature intended them to be heated up. Cashew. Cashew nut must be heated up. Don't eat it raw. It's not intended to be eaten raw. And if you see how it's formed by nature, you'll know why. Do anybody know where a cashew nut comes from? Okay.
Are you saying they need to be roasted or just eaten?
Yes, they need to be roasted. You can't eat them raw. That's the cashew fruit. It looks like a pear. And in the middle of the fruit, there's a huge stone like a kiwi. You ever see a kiwi? Look like a delicious. But the texture of this stone is like fiber, like a coconut fiber all around it. But it's as big as a kiwi, bigger than an avocado seed, but it has the fiber like a coconut fiber. That's the stone. The meat of the cashew, the part of this edible, is like cotton candy. So where the plant grows to make a fruit, it's highly impractical to ship it to any country to make a buck. But nature is a joker. This plant and this fruit has to excrete waste products. And so nature designed...
Even after it's picked?
No, on the tree. That's the first attempt at the enema bag. Sounds funny, but it's valid. Because what is happening there, this fruit is throwing off a waste product into this bag here as a nut. And that nut is calcium. It's a natural plant calcium without any lactic acid involved.
So you're saying there's a fruit called cashew?
Yes.
And it discharges this nut?
This nut that you call cashew nut.
We eat it for calcium.
It's the plant's discharge. Now, don't get hung up in words. Understand what nature's doing, and then see where you're getting your calcium minus lactic acid, which is detrimental to your body. This is not detrimental to your body, only when it's raw. This is calcium in a fiber state.
Right.
It's detrimental to you when it's raw because there's an acid around it from the skin that holds it there to insulate it against this fellow from above trying to get into it. Who would like to eat it before you? He knows what's good for him.
Well, that might be why the people that are strict macrobiotics don't say you're not supposed to eat cashews.
I know because...
they don't know this.
You see, I respect Mr. Miyakoshi for a lot of his knowledge. But when it comes to the web, he doesn't know when. That's not his research. His research is what the thing was in terms of the chemistry. He was a wonderful man. He did his job to establish 80-20. That's just as much as Dr. Rowley established protein going in for us, as much as Casey established ALMA. A lot of these men did a lot of contribution to the whats and the whys and the wheres, but never the when. I have to find it the hard way by being sick the hard way. And that's how come I discovered when. So when isn't better. It just takes the priority and the hazardous and the fear out of the whole thing.
There is a cashew nut and a cashew fruit?
Yes.
Is cashew the only nut that you do not
consume? No. On a tree. I'm dealing with food that comes from a tree.
Oh.
We'll deal with a lot of food that comes. Cashew comes from a tree. The nut is on the base of the fruit, like an animal bag. The waste product of the fruit is the nut that they call cashew nut. It's calcium. The calcium is in it. But this calcium doesn't contain lactic acid. And if you go over the shelf there, you're going to see cashew. But you should roast it. Don't even raw.
Calcium should have lactic acid for balance.
No.
No. Your body
produces
the lactic acid.
Calcium with lactic acid makes mucus. Milk from a cow is calcium with lactic acid. It will make mucus. Milk from a cashew is without lactic acid. It doesn't form mucus. So when I treat people who adopt children and can't nurse them, the first milk we give them in the morning is cashew milk, having no lactic acid, and we give it, grinding it up into a paste after it's roasted at 180 degrees to 200 degrees overnight. Then we grind it up and we add distilled water to the consistency of a milk and feed the baby. I know of 9 kids, all of them are geniuses in their class to this day, and they have their convex vision all open. That means what you call clairvoyant. These 9 kids have that capability and are helping their parents put away money for their education by giving them the insight to the stock market. So I know it works. So if you have a child and if the convex vision is not shut down, there is a way to put the child's ability to work to benefit the child in his education. Because the parent has to work and save the money, so why waste the child's capability in ignorance instead of directing it for the child's benefit in the future? These are people who have children on their own through their own pregnancy, also children that they have to adopt. And so it's worth.
You just take the regular roasted cashews and grind it up and add it on to distill the texture of milk by adding the distilled water. So you're getting the whole cashew. The distilled water does not have no minerals to alter the content minerals of the plant.
The cashew has its own content minerals to make it a cashew. All we're doing is roasting it, grinding it, and add the distilled water to the consistency of milk and feed it to the baby.
Still don't understand why you have to eat it.
This is toxic. This is a waste product of the plant.
So by heating it, what does it do?
In your tummy, if you don't heat it, that acid that this plant throws off in this particular shape will affect your colon. You'll get cramps. That's why when people eat raw cashew, they don't know why they get cramps after eating.
You have to grind it then to make it milk the texture?
Yes, but you should roast it first.
How?
Put it in the oven. Have you ever seen cashew nuts?
I don't know.
You got any here? I'll be glad to pay for it, so we'll see, because the best way to educate people is to take them to look what they're going to eat. That's why we used to have workshops. That's why I said I took out my book off the shelf. And you have what is called workshops to the stores, to the groceries.
And
to
you
see
feed, and you feed the baby. If the mother cannot breastfeed, feed.
Yeah.
How much do you feed them?
Two or three ounces. The amount that you put in a little bottle with a nipple, and the baby will nurse. This is what the cashew looks like. Roasted.
So do almonds have as much calcium?
Yes.
So you can do the same thing with almonds.
Yes. We serve all the nuts. But almonds don't have to be roasted.
Right.
Cashew has to be roasted.
Almond is really better raw.
Yes. Right.
When you eat too much of it.
Hmm?
When you eat too much of it.
No. There's no way you can eat too much. Because when you go beyond what you want to weigh, you'll gain weight. See? One almond for every 10 pounds of body weight you want to weigh. It's a formula. And if you want to weigh 160 almonds, if you start eating 18, you're going to have to add on in a month or two, you're going to see 20 extra pounds coming on. You don't know how to get there. It's because you're eating more than the amount you want to weigh. 16 will keep you at 160. 18 will make you weigh 180. You'll end up with 20 pounds more. This is the formula. I weigh 130 in the last 20 some odd years. I don't gain or I don't lose because I stay within the formula of one nut every 10 pounds of body weight.
You do that yourself?
Yeah.
Every morning you eat 13
almonds, pre-soaked.
Just almonds that you buy at the store?
Yeah.
Raw almonds.
Raw, they are not raw, they are dried there.
Why? Good question, why is
a raw almond is not cooked. It may look shriveled up. It's dried.
No, dried is okay.
But it's not cooked. Pre-soak it with distilled water the night before. You set up the germinal action of that almond. And then you have increased the nitrogen and you have set the protein action of the nut in the process of becoming protein with nitrogen reaction. The highest form of protein that can go in the body at any time of the day, in lunar time, best time in solar time is in the morning, and you don't have a single problem with cancer. And the man who discovered the element of it was a guy named Mr. Casey. He was what we call America's sleeping prophet. But he didn't know when to put it in. The when is what I came up after. Here, see your almond? They're dry right there. But if you pre-soak it, they're going to swell up.
Okay, that's what I'm doing.
That's what the germinal action. If you eat it like that, they're dry. It'll suck up the fluids in your body too fast.
I noticed I'm eating them and I'm getting the swelling right here.
Right, because the body's trying to compensate by storing fluid. Pre-soak it. Don't eat it raw, otherwise your body will absorb the fruit. But in your case, I would say for how many will you weigh now?
How much do I weigh now?
Yeah.
290.
How many you want to get down to?
I want to get down to 160.
All right, for 30 days, eat it dry.
It's going to take a lot of excess fluid.
And it'll pull out the excess fluid out of you, and then stop it. And then take it at its normal pre-soaked state.
And then you eat the normal...
Pre-soaked.
No, but I mean the rest of the day you eat normally...
Normally, yeah.
But the solar...
But if you want to bring your weight down very fast, don't pre-soak it. Take it dry so it'll suck up the liquid in the body, and then the body will renormalize.
With prunes?
The prunes, yeah. So it'll take down the excess here to the size you want to be. Then the body will stay normal flat. Then you can eat it pre-soaked after.
Then I'll build a monument to you.
And I should do it the opposite way, because I weigh 110 and I want to go up.
You want to go up.
So what do you have to do?
Eat more?
Pick out where you want to weigh.
Yeah.
Stay where you are. What's the matter with you? Sure.
I eat 3 prunes pre-soaked with the nut. Every dry fruit I eat, I pre-soak it. If I want to lose weight, I will eat it dry like that.
Dry
because it will absorb the fluid in the body. But if I don't want to lose weight, then I pre-soak it and let it be normal. But if you're overweight and you want a quick reduction, take the dried fruit or the dried nut and it will soak up the fluid faster. Then you go back to the normal pattern as soon as you get to the right weight you want to be.
So if you would eat that at night, you would gain weight?
Yes.
Just
around lunar time, no.
Yes, or lunar time.
But lunar time, you can still eat it in the morning and lose.
Yeah. Okay.
Donna, just one more thing on that. For example, I've put on about 5 pounds of weight, like, from all this transition. And I'm wanting to get back to my normal body weight.
All right.
I would do as you told him, say for 30 days, eat my...
No, no. If you're going back, do you eat the almonds?
Well, I will.
Pre-shop?
I will.
No, no. In that case, you just select what you want to eat. See that you don't have enough overweighted food already. And you just select what you want to eat, pre-soak it, eat it, and then it'll stabilize. In his case, he has a lot of fluid, too much.
Yeah.
So it'll be easy for he needs it to bring it down quickly and normal without stressing about it. You don't have that much.
So you're saying mine will normalize just going on the program without the.
Yeah.
I mean, like, stay around the industry. Some women, you know, they get excess food. So eating and dry would help that?
Well, if you pick out the weight you want to be.
Yeah, but if you had the right weight, but, you know, around that time.
You wouldn't store much food. The body makes the compensation.
Oh.
Now, there are three other foods that you must cook that grows on the tree. It's called a plantain. That's a banana that never gets ripe. No matter how it tries, it stays there. And it has to be cooked.
Horrible.
But when you cook this plantain at 350 to 400 degrees, it should be, or the skin should be brown, not green, because you can slice it and saute it. Don't deep fry it. That's the only one type of cooking you don't want to put in your body. You'll clog up your system.
With what?
Deep frying.
Deep frying is no good.
You can stir fry, broil, barbecue, not deep fry. You're locked down in a single valve.
Is the plantain really related to the banana?
Yes.
It's just a.
It's a type that has to be heated, and it's for a definite reason why
that's
the body.
To activate the ingredients in it,
Then you eat it in the morning, is for women, and you eat it at night, is for men.
Huh?
Yeah, it's just a hormone. It's a hormone balance of food.
You eat it in the morning, it's for women.
Yeah, in the morning you eat it, it's for women. And you cook it and eat it at night, it's for men. It's a hormone balance of food. Most men don't even know that. These are foods primal men had to learn the hard way. And now today, with their researches in their own primal ritual medicine, and sending a lot of their people over here to study chemistry and everything, they're validating a lot of the things that were ritually handed down from the agricultural heritage. Plantain is one such food. You cook it, it can't be eaten raw. It doesn't get ripe. But it has a value in terms of the male and female body, because the male is a sperm and an ovum, and a female is a sperm and an ovum. But the heating process has certain effects in the time of the day. It grows on tree. It's not ideal for the man in the morning. It's more ideal for the man at night. It's more ideal for the woman in the morning. It's not ideal for a woman at night. But yet this food is found in tropical climate where both men and women have to live. And it's a matter of what keeps them healthy. So when they go to their shaman or their spirit doctor and they're totally having problems and you tell them to eat plantain, they can sometimes think he's crazy. But he's getting the insight and he doesn't know why he gets the insight. Well, you tell them when to eat it. Today now, with their own people being sent to the States to study chemistry and everything, they are seeing there is a valid reaction in the knowledge that is involving the hormones.
John, for a woman, say my age, she's going through the menopausal period,
with
hormones are balanced anyway. Are you eating insinuating that a plantain eaten by a woman in the morning periodically would be beneficial to help regulate that?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you something else for both men and women in a few minutes for hormone balance. Cocoa and coffee, they both grow on a tree. They both got caffeine. You combine that with maple syrup that comes from a tree. And you have the natural hormone balance for both male and female at 10 o'clock in the morning or with your breakfast.
Combining
maple syrup.
so I could fix coffee, put cocoa and maple syrup in it at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I drink it, so I should. I got a lot of people who have menstrual problems. They drink it and they all correct their problems.
Oh, my goodness. That's
so, this has been going on for years.
They do that.
Yes.
Do the problems. He's going to the doctor.
I don't know of any person who have done it over the years having any problem, because they see immediately the change of their problems and the normalization of their body. They check with their doctors and everything. And the doctors are amazed, but the method is too simple.
You're saying if a woman has a menstrual problem, they get
caution. Because you're dealing with a caffeine from a tree, and a cocoa comes from a tree. They're both grown from a tree. And the maple syrup is made from a tree. It's three elemental principles working in a light zone to work on your spleen. We're going to come to the clock in a few minutes. Well, first we have to establish foods that must be cooked and not cooked.
Well, excuse me, one more thing. That's in solar time.
Yeah.
The morning you would switch it on to whatever the 10 o'clock time would be.
Anytime.
Oh, anytime.
In the lunar time.
Oh, anytime. That's for anytime.
In lunar time, you can do anything. That's your
wonderful. Oh, this is so great.
You see, because our parents did all these already. So there's no fixations in the nutrition. It's the timing. So the plantain. Now, the other fruit that must be cooked is breadfruit. It grows in the tropical countries, Hawaii and all these places, the people who go down there. Breadfruit, it looks like a...
Yes.
And then you scoop out the inside, you see it like spaghetti.
Yes.
Well, this breadfruit is something similar like that. When it's cooked, it smells like bread cooking. It has a texture like bread.
We don't get that here.
No, I get it mostly in Hawaii or Mexico or any of the tropical islands from the point. Now, coconut. Coconut normally is a saturated oil. It's not ideal for putting in the mouth. It's ideal for making salves, soaps, hair solution, anything on the outside of the skin. But it's not an ideal oil for inside because of the saturated effect. Yet, in a strange way, nature produces an odd phenomenon by combining these three together. Plantain, breadfruit, coconut. When cooked together, to make a meal. The oil acts as a lubricant instead of building up and blocking your system and clogging you and getting more cholesterol. It now acts as a lubricator to allow these foods to pass through. It's nature's compensation, but they all got to go through heat.
With the coconut and plantain mixed together,
right.
Be as effective.
That's right.
Without the breadfruit?
No.
Because we don't get the breadfruit.
They all three got to be together. Otherwise, it won't work. It's a polarity in a food. It's nature's basic laws that she's showing us polaristic principles right there in the plant life and bringing it about instability in the body. But this, you will find most tropical countries where they have it. They use it for stabilizing their bodies. Now, but this is food in the morning. You may run into it as you go to a tropical country. Here's the thing. Don't panic if you see it. But that's to be aware of what foods in the morning that must be cooked.
I mean, if you have to cook coconut, how do you cook coconut?
Coconut grows on a tree.
Yeah, but how do you cook it?
Well, very simple. Coconut comes in three levels. Right off the tree, when it falls off, this is the husk. This is the inner core. This is the water in the coconut. That water, when you perforate a little spot in the nut after you take the husk off and you run the water out.
Don't drink it?
You can drink it. Just like that, like a juice. They call that the cocoa juice.
Yeah,
good. Now, if you leave that there to sit down on the floor for a week or two, that juice will eventually start a gelling effect along the wall of the coconut. And it will look like liquid jello. And when you break the nut open and you scoop out this liquid jello, that's the second stage of the coconut. So it's a what we call mucilaginous protein, ideal for all people who suffer from ulcers in the stomach and all intestinal problems in the colon and so forth. This is the mucilaginous protein. It's like a jello.
It's taking on the consistency of like aloe vera gel.
That's right. Now, you let it sit down again, fast a few more months, that gel will harden like a core inside. And it may eventually have no more water. That is tough. Now you can pop it and separate that kernel, which they call the copra, from the actual shell, and grate it, and spread it on top of your cake. And that's what we call it, powdered coconut, that they sell it now in the store. But then it has the oil for the first time, the coconut oil. In that state, the coconut oil is saturated. That has a tendency to leave cholesterol deposits. When cooked with the breadfruit and the plantain, that cholesterol deposit effect is phased down. Now, if they squeeze the oil out of that copra and leave the residue powder that you can sprinkle on top of the cake that you're making, fine. You got protein, you got minerals. The oil is taken out, and that oil can be used for the skin and the hair and making soap or body deodorants. See, the coconut now comes to be a very unusual plant. And yet, the oil is only edible as an oil when it's combined with the plantain. And there's a funny thing, these three foods grow in close proximity of each other in a tropical area.
What did you say was the best way to eat it after? Boiling it or?
The coconut?
Yeah.
When you cut it open with the copra, you cook it with the breadfruit and the plantain.
Oh, you just sprinkle it?
Yeah, you put them all inside and let them cook together.
Okay.
You go into French, South Africa, or Middle East, or any place where the tropical places you're going to see.
Yeah, I ate that dish in Seminole, in the Republic last
summer.
Yeah,
that's exactly
that sort of thing.
And they call it fufu.
Yeah.
Familiar,
yeah. It's good.
And you'll never see a bulky person that eats it.
No, the kids over there in Seminole are all fruitarians almost,
yeah,
for the most part.
But that is a nature's way of providing a protein with a non-fattening base for the body off the tree.
And eating those do not remove the nitrogen?
No. That's one of the compensations. That's one of the compensations of nature. But you put it in an area where it grows in a hot climate. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in a cold climate, it grows to compensate.
If you took the coconut fresh and poured the milk into the plantain and the breadfruit,
you got your nitrogen.
You still have it?
Yeah.
And you still have the same three basic combinations that work together.
Yeah.
So you can either wait and use an old coconut or use a fresh one.
Fresh one would be better.
Fresh one would be better. And use the milk.
Yeah. Now, in the middle of the day now, these are the foods that must be cooked.
How much total percent of our diet, of the our diet, should be raw in general?
80% of your diet should be raw. 20% should be cooked.
That's from the macrobiome.
You cannot eat 100% raw or 100% cooked. You'll get sick. Nature didn't intend us to be 100% raw or 100% cooked. She had certain reasons for it. Even those who say they're fruitarians, they get sick. Even those who said they wouldn't eat cooked food, they get sick. I tried them all, so I should know. I did all the whole wrong, only to find out it is not what, it was when.
Who is the Japanese gentleman you were speaking of that came upon that?
Yeah, Fushi.
A20.
Yeah.
No, he
just didn't know the time.
He didn't know the time. Tomato must be cooked. Don't eat it raw unless it's vine ripened. Vine ripening is when you put your hand and tap it, it'll fall off the vine. That's vine ripening. And you can see it. It doesn't have a speck of green on the outer skin. Then you can eat that raw. as a salad. But don't eat it raw with a green speck in it, because you'll get that reaction from the nightshade reaction plant, because of the nightshade family. You'll get too much of the oxalic acid in it.
Tomatoes should be cooked. But cooked tomatoes should never be combined with spinach.
That's right.
What? Combined with what?
Spinach.
Oh.
Oxalic acid.
We eat that combination.
Spinach salad with tomatoes on?
Yeah.
Or
you can eat the spinach raw with a tomato.
Don't
cook the spinach with the tomato.
Right.
You can eat the spinach raw with the tomato.
Okay.
But don't cook it.
Okay.
You cook the tomato, you can eat it with a raw spinach. But if you cook the tomato and spinach together, you'll get sick of it. The oxalic acid content will go up too high. Now, eggplant. This must be cooked. These are all nightshade plants. The eggplant, the tomato. The bell pepper.
Bell pepper is a nightshade?
Yes.
Should be good.
I didn't know that.
It can be eaten, this is the one, can eaten raw or cooked. This is where your option now. It's not like tomato. Tomato has to be vine ripened. Eggplant has to be cooked. Tomato should be cooked. Unless it's vine ripened, you have to cook it. If it's vine ripened, you don't have to cook it. It can be eaten raw. If it's not vine ripened, cook it with the eggplant.
When you buy them at the store, they're not vine ripened.
That's right, exactly. So I cook it. And the bell pepper, I can use it for the salad because it's the only one I'll go with raw or cooked. But then if you get these three together to make a tomato sauce for spaghetti, you got it made. It's the best spaghetti sauce going. Tomato, eggplant, and bell pepper.
Eggplant was nightshade.
They're all nightshade in the middle of the day.
Oh, I say.
But when should you eat pasta? Noon or at night?
Middle of the day.
Middle of the day?
Unless it's artichoke pasta.
Pasta is grain.
Oh.
Now in the full moon time.
Grain grows below the, I don't know.
Grain
don't
grow.
Middle of the day, not at night. Brown rice, what about brown rice?
Anytime, morning, noon, and night. It's a grass. Now, the grain is middle of the day. And yet at lunar time, you can eat it anytime. This is the compensation. So sometimes you may like to eat a pasta in the evening. Lunar time, fine. Now, you can also get by eating it at lunar at night time, if it's not lunar, and bless it. See, sometimes you go to your friend, and they would want to eat pasta, don't feel offended. Eat it, but bless it. But don't make it a habit. Around lunar time, fine. You can always do it around the wrong clock. But at solar time, you know. In other words, you have many options of doing the thing without being trapped into fixation. And that's where the fixation comes to be a worse sickness than the actual timing. So, knowing when to put the thing in is practical, and the attitude also practical. But the attitude has one handicap. It's overworking a process that is not geared to the law of nature. So you don't want to overtax the attitude principle too much. Because when it lets you down, you'll be hurt. You feel that some guy in the sky let you down. He didn't. You didn't take the opportunity to learn the laws that are underlying it. And so if you take the opportunity to understand the laws underlying it, the option of praying over it is a compensation, along with knowing when to eat it. Now, rhubarb. That should be cooked. Don't eat it raw. It makes good rhubarb strawberry pie. Combine the two with a little honey or a little sugar from the sugar cane, and you got the best rhubarb pie.
Sugar from sugar cane is okay.
Well, it's the middle of the day. Cane is a stalk.
The cane farmers will love you for saying that. You are the first person that I've heard in nutrition research sugar from
cane. Yes, but not refined.
Oh, no, we can get it raw from the sugar house.
Yes, but that's the best time of the day to take it. Now, let me explain something. What the sugar didn't become white sugar as we got it today. Brown sugar is the natural color of the cane juice when you heat it. And it's essentially ideal for the body in the middle of the day as a nutrient. Now, when the British saw the Orientals using the sugar, they were glad to get it to compete with the Europeans that were making sugar from beets. But the sugar from the sugarcane turned out to be brown. It wasn't white like the beet sugar that comes out white. So that was the biggest hassle. How could they get this brown sugar white? But then they saw the technique done by the Orientals again. They wanted to know why were the Orientals using the white sugar for what purpose. The Orientals never told them they were using the white sugar to correct kidney problems. If you're pissed off at your mother-in-law, that's what they will give you. And many mother-in-laws, you know, were always going to take advantage of their daughter-in-law in those type of functions. So she was always at the mercy of her mother-in-law. And so when she ended up with the Oriental herbal doctor, he would slip her a little cube of white sugar to ease her passion or anguish, and then she could urinate better. When the British saw it, and they brought it back to England, and then they brought it to the colonies here, the white sugar was then the biggest issue of getting it to compete with the white sugar from the beets. But then, we overindulge in the white sugar, never realizing that it's more of a therapeutic process than a nutritional process.
Is sugar burn the oxygen out of the blood?
Yes. When it's refined.
Sir?
When it's refined.
When it's refined.
Because that was the purpose of it to be used to make you urinate more if you couldn't urinate in a hot climate. In a hot climate, the worst thing to be in is not going to the bathroom to urinate. You've been in a hot climate and you try to urinate, you can't go. You will really know what it is. And the quickest thing to get it is to give you some white sugar, and before you know it, you're urinating. Otherwise, you bloat up, you get in there and get rigid.
Why would you use so much of your urine process refined?
Yeah. Because it was homeopathic medicine. We developed it as a homeopathic process. It's not a new idea, it's so old, but...
Anybody that retains fluid.
Yes.
White sugar.
It's white.
So there again, another thing during that time, yeah. Women consume white sugar during the middle of the day.
That's right. So, the sugar cane would be ideal if you took your rhubarb and your strawberry and made yourself a rhubarb pie for dessert in the afternoon. Now, again, nature wants you to eat fruits. So in the afternoon, after your lunch, she gave you grapes, strawberries, blueberries, and most important, she gave you the melons and the cantaloupe to get the liquid in your body moving. You ever, when is the best time of the day you like a watermelon?
Yeah.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. See? Funny. You don't want them in the morning, you don't want them at night. And yet nature placed it there to release the bladder.
So it's good to eat.
Yeah, I love it.
Cantaloupe or
not? Cantaloupe and watermelon, but eat them alone or leave them alone.
Eat them together without other foods?
Don't mix them with it.
Don't ever eat anything else.
Don't ever mix
it. Don't mix watermelon with cantaloupe.
No, watermelon and cantaloupe can mix, but don't mix it with any other fruit.
Melons with
Is there a time period, an hour before, or
between lunch? You got a 2-hour difference. Like you got lunch and 2 hours
what
after.
What do we have for a snack?
Eat the melon as a dessert. Don't mix it together at the same time. You're going to eat
the
dessert.
What do we have for a snack?
But Donald, you have that note that in the later around 4 o'clock, eat the melon.
Yeah.
What if you choose to eat grapes on through until your evening meal? Will grapes still fall within their range and not eat the melon?
Yes. But then you see. You should give yourself a break from the grapes too.
Yeah, but
because
I mean, like
because you have grapes one day, you can have melon another day,
right.
Or you can have cranberry another day, or strawberries. Yeah. The variety of the fruit have different reactions between the bladder and the kidney.
So there's no balance.
Yeah.
So if you, you don't believe in 3 days of just grapes, that's no good.
I'll put it this way, I rather rotate.
Or 3 days of pineapple.
What is that, fifth line?
See, if you go 3 days steady, that has one function. If you go 3 alternate days, it has a different function. So 3 days steady has one function in the body. 3 days alternate has a different function in the body. 3 days steady is a therapy or like a laxative. 3 days alternate is a reinforcing a detoxifier. See, one is a laxative and one is a detoxifier. So if you're going to do it as a laxative, 3 days steady. You're going to do it as a detoxifier to certain problems in the bloodstream. I do it every other day. So you get the benefit of the food and the fruit doing its job. But you're working with what is called polarity in terms of magnetism and polarity in terms of electro-gravitational field. The electro-gravitational function is every other day, and magnetism is every day. But it's still...
You're body in terms of fruit.
Yeah. Now, one more food that must be cooked, artichoke.
Oh, artichoke.
You don't need for raw artichokes? So
no.
Good.
No.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I love raw artichokes.
You get gas in the stomach. That's why you got the distension. What it does, towards the descending side of the colon, it tends to create a pressure, forcing foods to back up towards the ascending side.
You're in those little artichokes?
Those are cooked.
They're cooked.
Oh, they're good. Raw.
Is that a nice thing?
No.
Would all artichokes, you had on the list, Jerusalem artichoke during the middle of the day, that's all artichoke?
No, Jerusalem is eaten. You have to cook it, and then you eat it at night.
Oh.
All artichokes.
But other artichokes during the day?
Jerusalem artichoke is in daytime.
Oh, okay.
But
that's
But most Jerusalem artichoke is a bulb. So there, those ones, those where you can eat like that without cooking it. You eat them raw.
Oh, you can eat them raw.
Yeah, Jerusalem artichoke.
What is Jerusalem artichoke?
Jerusalem artichoke looks like this.
Oh,
yeah, those are the Jerusalem. What I'm talking is like this. It's green. This is a plain artichoke that grows on a bush. That has to be cooked. Jerusalem artichoke looks like something like this.
Looks like jelly. That's nighttime?
This is nighttime. Raw. You don't have to cook this one. You can eat this one raw. Nighttime. Jerusalem artichoke? This is sunchokes. It's very good for people with diabetic problems. This one should be cooked. This is the greens, the one that you will find shaped like a cactus. That's the green kind. That one has to be cooked.
Why is it good for diabetic?
It's very high in inulin. Now, nighttime, potato. The white one, not the red one, not the sweet potato. The sweet potato can be eaten raw. The white potato, like Idaho potato or any of the ordinary white ones, they have to be cooked. They call them pomme de terre. That one must be cooked. The yam or sweet potato can be eaten raw.
That's
a nighttime food. Peanut. It's not a nut, it's a legume, but it can be eaten raw. It must be roasted. Otherwise, again, it's like the cashew. You get a reaction in your stomach. Roasted, you don't have a problem. Mushroom, don't eat it raw. Most people are going to places where they see mushroom raw and eating it, and then they get a problem in their liver because the spores tend to open up and affect your liver. You better to eat it raw? No. It's better to cook it than steam it. sauteed. And that way you don't have a problem with mushroom because the spores can't react to them. Ideally, it's not practical to just eat them raw in a salad that you see in a buffet place. The next thing that must be cooked is your cactus.
I never eat cactus.
No, you just slice it, you slice like how we slice up the vegetables here, and you saute it. You can serve it with fish, eggs, make omelet with it, with onions and garlic. Put it in your eggs, you can make a solid fish, marine life, seafood. It's called Napolitan cactus. And many people live in the desert, walk past it, and starve to death. When they walk into the closest food with high in vitamin C and high in liquid to get them out of the desert. The only reason they won't eat it is because why? It looks like something like this. These little fellas scare them away. But that's nature's most beneficial acupuncture. Sit near them and they will do what is called electromagnetic acupuncture in your body. They line up your meridians. See, most people don't know that. When you want to cure people of phobia and mental anguish, you take them in a cactus patch and sit down with them and let them renovate or activate their bodies to match the movement of the wind in the cactus, and that is the presence of the needle in the eye sets up this particular alignment. Now, potato, peanut, mushroom, cactus, and there's only one more that is your yucca root.
Good for arthritis? Good for arthritis?
Yucca? No, it doesn't give you arthritis.
No, is it good for arthritis?
Yes, very good for arthritis.
Oh, I never heard of it. I don't want it.
Yucca must be cooked. These foods, these are all root fruits at night.
Yeah, yucca root?
Yeah, yucca root.
Never heard of it.
Then when people drink aloe vera,
yes,
it should be pasteurized.
Well, not necessarily.
I think so.
Well, yes. Aloe vera is a nighttime plant. And here is what the aloe vera looks like. It's like a long leaf. When you cut into it, it has a gel. That gel is ideal for you on the outside of your skin, in your mouth, and taken raw or run through the juicer. It's
nighttime.
But it doesn't grow on a tree or a bush. There are only three ways plants can grow. I'll show you already. On a tree,
bush,
or on the ground itself, sitting like a, or underneath the ground itself. This happens to be sitting on the ground like that.
So even if something grows above ground, if it's not a tree or a bush, then it is the third phase plant. It's being the third phase.
Let me show you your own. That's why we take people to go to grocery stores, on the farms, and show them what they need to know about food instead of just buying it out of their head. A tree is a trunk with a root system. It has to go around the sun many revolutions before it builds up a core for a fruit to come out, and it's exposed. So we can tell the age of the tree by the core when we cut it in half. And we look at the core of the tree like this, and we'll see the cores don't go like this. Even. They're not even.
the cores are like this. You notice how uneven it is? Each separation all the way around is one revolution that tree went around on the earth around the sun. In reference to pressure and absorption, internal and external, so it's called a constriction dilation to the reaction of the light hitting it. This is the structure. But we don't realize that. We don't know what the outcome of the fruit will be. And this is going to follow its natural law of extracting minerals in here. Iron, whatever this is going to come. And this fruit may be classified as maple. Taking in certain minerals from the ground within a given time, within a given light frame. Those minerals are going to be common minerals for another type of food, but the quantity in this fruit will not be the same quantity in the other fruit or in the other food. They're going to differ, but they're going to be the identical elements. There's not going to be any difference. So one will get fooled and say, hey, what are you trying to tell me? I need iron? I can take it from... Yeah, go ahead, be my guest. Learn the hard way. I don't say you shouldn't learn the hard way. But when you come to realize that this plant isn't dumb or stupid, this plant is following its own laws, and it's the laws that this plant makes you realize something important is going on regarding your health. It's taking in these elements to form this substance in a certain quantity. The length of time it took to form, and within the light frame, your body has to break it down to match. Because you're a product of this environment, this is not a product of you. Two things equal to the same thing are themselves equal to one another. Nature's own laws. That tells us right away, if we don't understand the relationship of the timing, we're going to end up being dead and we're going to live to die. But if we also understand what is going on and not who we think is going on inside, we may end up living to live for the first time. And then we would have a healthier society. It's coming. We got to make the mistakes before we can recognize it. So, this food seems to do best in the morning. It doesn't say you can't eat it because it's available in quantity, but it doesn't do best in the middle of the day, and it doesn't do best at night. Yet nature isn't a fixated principle. Nature has one period where it's accepted the way it's grown, and another period to compensate for what? Our emotional reactions to how we're put together. So, in the middle of the day or at night, that same fruit that is allowed to be taken in the morning has appeared in the whole 28 days where you can put it in. And that's the lunar cycle. Now, even if you don't put it in the lunar cycle or you don't put it in the solar cycle, and you just want to be a good, what you say, born again, whatever you want to call yourself, you can bless it and eat it. See what I mean? No problem, because you don't bless it. But that has a disadvantage of fooling yourself, because it can let you down. I don't say God ain't gonna back you up, but it would be like a story. The priest who's praying for the rain to stop. So the rain is up to his knee. Along comes a boat. They say, Father, save yourself. He says, no, my children, you go save others. I'm praying to God to stop the rain. The water is up to his chest. Another comes the boat again. Father, save yourself. No, my children, you go find others, save them. I'm praying to God to stop the rain. The water is up to his nose now. A helicopter comes along and drops a ladder and says, Father, save yourself. No, I'm praying to the Lord to stop the rain. You go find others. The rain is over his head. He's standing in front of God. He said, what happened? And God said, I sent you two boats in a helicopter. What do you do? That's the same thing. You pray. Well, you got it, the laws of physics also there. You don't take advantage of that. So blame God. So that's what we're saying. We want to know we have an option in our prayers to override the problem by right attitude. But we don't want to overtax it because it's not valid. We must know the laws. We must understand it. We can't
go by strictly overriding that rule. So there is a tree in the morning absorbing. So all foods in that range is in a tree range. Now we have the bush now. You'll notice the bush, they don't have big, sturdy trunks. They're more like vines. And their fruit hangs on them, closer to the ground. Well, picture for one moment, you had a watermelon orchard. How many watermelons would be on a tree? Good. You need to tell me you guys. Good, okay. Pretty smart dog, huh? To make a watermelon or a vine so it doesn't ruin the fruit. So you can survive. So that's where we come down to what is called the bush. The bigger, hefty things are closer to the ground. Now, but at the same time, we're looking at a strange phenomenon of some of the foods that grow on the ground. They all come out something like this. Where this portion is hard, tough, and this portion is tender. You notice that? Towards the bottom of the food, about 2 to 3 inches at the bottom, where it hooks into the ground, that portion is very, very tough. And from that up, it's soft. These are called above the ground in the vine range and in the bush range. Now, but then we have, again, just like that, above the ground. And this is the ground right here. And underneath the ground, we find something big like this. And if you picture for one moment this here area, how tough it is that this object push its way through that mass to get that long. It's extracting the same minerals that the other one extracted when it was this way. As the same minerals when it was that way. But each one is doing its extraction within its own time frame and storing it. Therefore, you can't say now that one bodily action is going to compensate to take care of it. It'll let you down. But if you take them in their own time frame, you got enzymes that your body is going to release to break it down and absorb it.
That's why it's not good to drink carrot juice in the morning.
Good. Not practical.
Not practical.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you a good question. Would you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Not for very long.
Not for very long, good. So don't expect the enzymes in your mouth to do it either. They all have a time phrase to which they relate to the growth pattern of the food. Some are resting and some are working. So in your mouth, though you have to put all the food through there, some enzymes are going to act at a certain time, others are going to be in a state of suspension. And you go back to your life cycle, the way it grows, it knows exactly. It's like an assembly line. If you come into work in a company and they assign you in from 7 to 5 or 7 to 4, you come every day at 7 to 4. The only time you'll ever come and work up to 8 o'clock, they have to pay you overtime. But you're not going to come and work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, for nobody. So it's the same way these enzymes in the body, they're not going to do it. They'll let you down. But we have a tremendous input in the first 30 years of our lives to override these conditions, then it lets us down. After that, we can't do it.
The body's weakened and slows down.
Right. Now, to show you another example of what your mouth is doing, let's say you have an assembly line where they pay you by the pieces to work. And the piece you gotta make is a design like this, a square.
on an object that has a square, you fit it, you grind it, and the piece falls out, they get you paid by the piece. You're not paying you by the hour, you're paying you by the pieces. Now, you're working from 7 to 4. A 100 of these pieces came true. But on that 100, there were only 33 with squares, 33 with circles, and 34 with triangles. You looked at 100 pieces, right? This is the device you have to work with. You're getting paid by the pieces, a dollar a piece. How much money do you think you made that day?
33.
That's all right. And the rest you can't do dog on them because your machining will fit it, you gotta push it aside. So from 7 to 4, you made $33. Then the other gang comes in from 4 to 11. And they're given this kind of design to put in. Now if they got 33 of this, right away off the bat, they're gonna make $33. But then, within the work shift, there's 74 this shape, triangle, and 26 of this shape. They didn't make any more than what that whole shift at $33, right? Because their machine can't fit none of these two. Then you got the last shift now from 11 to 7. They're punching out triangles. Imagine when they walk in, they can see what? Stacks of it. Oh boy, we did our day, man. Huh? Through the entire shift, while the other materials coming through, there's not a single more triangle coming. But they gotta stack this up and push it aside. But they done made their day wide. What is already waiting for them is there. Then the next morning the group comes back and you are in that group. What are you gonna see? Stacks of stuff waiting for you, right? So you see your day is piling up. Then let's say towards 3 o'clock that day, the boss comes around and says, "Hey fellas, we're in a bind. We got a whole 100 of these designs to run through by 5 o'clock. Will you fellas stay over the extra hour and run it? Even though you got an appointment to go someplace at 4:30? And you gonna make the extra buck and a half or whatever it is? What are you gonna do?"
99% people.
You can't exhaust because you only did 33 and from 74 and you're going to do 100 in 1 hour.
But this is your overtime overload.
Yeah.
Okay. And they pay you more money to do what?
Yeah. I see your point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. That's exactly what we do with our bodies when we put foods out of their time cycle and their growth. We can't make a single thing in our environment to match a functional behavior that is not already set up by nature internally at the invisible range to match. So we're not making laws. We're simply living out laws that are set up for us to live out as a behavior pattern, as a productive movement. And therefore we see sooner or later why timing will take the priority in the nutrition more than the actual belief systems. It's not the what, it's the when. You know that pretty fast when you fly a plane. You can't monkey around too much until you either act or don't act. One more thing before we switch to the page of the book and then we'll wind it up. All foods have certain shapes to match their growth cycle and their resistance cycle. And yet, they all can be used around the clock in different aspects. On a tree, You ever see a fruit? How it looks? One part is soft and one part is hard. It's never completely hard all the way through. Outside, there's always one part that's soft, one part is hard, right? Good. You look at a vegetable. One part is soft, one part is hard, right? Like a cabbage. Now you take a carrot. One part is soft, one part is extremely hard. That's the top part of the bush of the carrot. Yet, we throw away the top part of the carrot because what? It don't look edible. We throw away the bottom part of the cabbage because it doesn't look edible. And we throw more the skin of the fruit away because we don't think it's edible. And yet we throw away what? Our basic trace minerals that we thought we need so much down the drain.
So we got a real healthy drain.
Yeah. And that's where your trace minerals are. They're in the hardness and the areas that we don't seem to think is edible enough.
How could you prepare those kinds of foods without having to cook the hell out of them, soften them up so you can eat it?
All right.
Grind it, juice it?
Yes.
Chop it?
Yes, because that's what the wheatgrass technique was came from. The wheatgrass technique came along to show that if you take wheatgrass and chew it in your mouth, you ever chew wheatgrass in your mouth?
Yeah.
Can you swallow it?
Yeah.
Would that make the most wonderful chewing gum?
Yeah.
And tooth cleaner? And all the different things that your teeth need. But we never think of it. Yet primal man chewed upon the wheatgrass.
Animals do that.
They're smarter than us. At least they're smarter.
Dogs, cats.
Okay, so what are we learning? That these things do have a time when we put it in and use it. We cannot function without good. Let's not kill ourselves. Even when it's bad, you're going to have to take it out and put in that one, right? So, if nature already provides the necessary conditions of, for the keeping of the teeth healthy, those portions of the food that you think is not edible, use them as preventative dental care. Massage and work it through the gums to get the teeth. You're fine. You don't have the cavities, you don't have the dental breakdown.
How about eight greens?
Beautiful. Drink
it.
No, don't swallow it because their fiber isn't edible enough to break down inside of you, but they are tough enough to clean the gums and the teeth that you want primarily for. Yeah, carrot tops, the skin of the different.
Give it to our chickens. They eat
it. Okay.
Sour is the next level before the bitter.
The sour, yeah. So,